Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Douglas Impoga in Washington. Here are some of the top stories we are covering on this Friday, March 7th, 2025. A United Nations helicopter came under fire in Nasir County today, resulting in the death of a crew member and several South Sudanese soldiers, including a general.
The attack on UNMISS personnel is utterly abhorrent and may constitute a war crime under international law. We deeply regret the tragic loss of our colleague and express our sincere condolences to his loved ones.
And some young women in South Sudan's business community call on women who want to launch their own businesses to overcome their fear as the world celebrates International Women's Day.
I would like to pass a message to every other female outside there who thinks that they cannot thrive in business because they are female. That is a very wrong perspective. Every woman should be given an opportunity and a chance to try out a business.
We'll have these stories and more coming up right here on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan People's Defense Forces general and several soldiers were killed Friday morning in an attack by the White Army militia as the UN mission in South Sudan tried to airlift them out of Nasir. A UN pilot also died. Mama Abraham Kuwait reports for VOA from Juba.
The United Nations mission in South Sudan confirmed that the White Army militia on Friday fired on one of its helicopters in Nasir in Upper Nile State. The attack killed the pilot and several members of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, including a general who had been trapped in Nasir. General David Majurdak and his soldiers were trapped at the SSPDF barracks in Nasir and had been there since Tuesday when the White Army captured the barracks. Nasir resident Paul Watt says fighting started while the general was being carried to the helicopter because he could not walk after sitting in a military tank for several days.
Yes, I heard it from the people who are going there because they say that when the general was brought to go to helicopter, and then there is some fire. There is one officer who have a gun, and then they shoot the gun, and then after that the fighting was happened where the helicopter was there.
The UNMISS mission condemned the attack on its personnel. Priyanka Chaudhuri, UNMISS spokesperson, read a statement from Nicholas Haysom, the head of the mission.
Nicholas Haysom, special representative of the UN Secretary General and head of UNMISS, said, "The attack on UNMISS personnel is utterly abhorrent and may constitute a war crime under international law. We deeply regret the tragic loss of our colleague and express our sincere condolences to his loved ones."
Haysom said the evacuation mission had been given a promise of safe passage and call for an investigation into the attack and for all sides to refrain from violence. Upper Nile State's Minister of Information, James Basha, had little to say about the incident.
Yeah, I suppose he said as a Minister of Information, but without information, I cannot because I don't have full information.
Some soldiers were evacuated to Malakal yesterday, but the general chose to be the last to be airlifted, waiting until all government soldiers had left. The fighting in Nasir has led to at least 70 deaths, officials said this week. The White Army has been allied with the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, although the group's military wing insists it has not been involved in the fighting in Nasir. However, the government has arrested several leaders of the SPLM-IO in Juba, and government troops are surrounding the home of First Vice President Riek Machar, who leads the opposition. For VOA News, I am Amer Abraham Kuwait, reporting from Juba.
Meanwhile, President Salva Kiir Mayardit is calling for calm after Army General David Majurdak and 27 others were killed in an attack by the White Army militia in Nasir County today. The victims were being evacuated aboard UN helicopters when they came under attack. For VOA News, Deng Guy Deng reports from Juba.
In his first State of the Nation address since violence broke out in Nasir last week, President Salva Kiir assured the public that his government will address the situation. Kiir confirmed the killing of General David Majurdak and 27 other members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force in an attack by the armed militia group known as the White Army in Nasir County this afternoon. The general and his men were being airlifted from Nasir by two UN helicopters when they came under attack. President Kiir seemed to confirm in his speech that the deadly ambush has intensified tensions in the country, which has seen a surge in violence in recent weeks.
I am therefore informing the nation that in this process, we have lost General Major Duck and all the officers. Only one pilot survived, and one of the planes managed to take off. However, it crash landed in Malakal and killing all the passengers that were on board. Fellow citizens, I'm appealing to you to remain calm. I have said it time and again that our country will not go back to war. Let no one take law into their hands.
President Kiir has assured the nation that his government is committed to addressing the situation and preventing further escalation. He also extended his condolences to the families of those who lost their lives in the attack, promising that his government will ensure justice is served.
The government which I lead will handle this crisis. We will remain steadfast in the path of peace. My condolences to the bereaved families of the general and his men. They have died in the service of our nation, and they shall forever remain in our hearts. May their soul rest in peace. And once again, I call for calm nationwide.
Tensions between the ruling SPLM led by President Salva Kiir and the SPLM in opposition led by First Vice President Riek Machar have stalled the implementation of the 2018 revitalized peace agreement. Each side has accused the other of violating the deal. The SPLM AIO has warned that the ongoing targeting and arrest of their senior military personnel and political leaders threaten the 2018 revitalized peace agreement and could derail its implementation. However, Information Minister and government spokesperson Michael Mokwe insists that peace remains intact in South Sudan.
He is committed for peace, and for peace he shall work. Whatever had that happen will not affect the implementation of the agreement, but will give us more energy and power to ensure that we implement the agreement as it comes, as it moves.
The situation in Nasi remains tense. The government is expected to take further measures to restore stability in the coming days. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Some young women in South Sudan's business community said women who want to launch their own businesses should overcome their fear as the world celebrates International Women's Day tomorrow, March 8th. They say setting a goal while establishing a business makes one prosper in the business sector. Ibasi Patricia Tobbs reports from Juba.
Nancy Aite sells skin products, a small business called Abopa Ghanaian Black Soap in Juba. Aite says with today's technical advances, it is easy for women to enter the business sector.
As we are currently, technology is changing, the world is changing, there is a lot of diversification. So if we lean more on understanding that business is only supposed to be male-dominated, we get to suffer, especially as women in today's society. I would like to pass a message to every other female outside there who thinks that they cannot thrive in business because they are female. That is a very wrong perspective. Every woman should be given an opportunity and a chance to try out a business.
After her mother passed away 10 years ago, 25-year-old Juliana Adut started her own business, Juliana's Pastry and Bakery, in honor of her mother. She sells homemade cookies, samosas, vegetable pea, donuts, and spring rolls in Gudele Market.
I love to do pastry, and my mom used to be a great baker. There are a lot of challenges that we face in business. Financial challenge, capacity building, and business training. So when I started this business, I didn't have any capital at hand. I started my business with 60,000 SSP. That's how I got to where I am today. I didn't even believe that I would get to this extent. So for any young lady out there who's struggling to start a business, start with what you have. As long as you have a goal, you have a mission and you know where you're heading to, you'll prosper.
Siama Joan owns a small boutique in Torit Market packed with men's and women's clothing. She says despite South Sudan's poor economy, due in large part to constant currency fluctuations, she remains resilient and keeps her business running.
I was having a salon and a boutique, but because of some serious issues, I decided to leave the salon. I'm just having the boutique by now. When I started, it wasn't like this. It was so hard with this business of selling clothes. You may bring some clothes which are people don't like. So you can stay with clothes in the shop, like even for 3 years. When I started, it was just like zero. So the small amount I was getting, it was helping me in paying the school fees, feeding our family.
International Women's Day is observed on March 8th every year to honor women's accomplishments, increase awareness on gender equality, and promote women empowerment. This occasion also provides a forum for promoting women's rights and showcasing their contributions to society, the economy, and culture. For VOA News, I am Ibase Patricia Tops reporting from Juba.
Repeated attacks in Sudan's White Nile state have led to a wave of deadly cholera in the region. Since February 20th, the French medical charity Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, says more than 2,700 patients have been admitted to the Ministry of Health's cholera treatment center at Kosti Teaching Hospital. Sudan coordinator Mata Kazarola tells VOA's Caravan Dam the hospital is supported by MSF.
We have been working in cholera in October, and we had some little cases at the beginning of February. But suddenly on the 20th of February, we have an important peak of 600 patients almost arriving at the same time to the cholera treatment center we have. We can link this to a power outage that happened in the Rabak power plant that happened on the 16th of February. Obviously, this attack destroyed the part of the electrical system, so the water was not pumped. And the community had to change the way they were fetching water. And that led after 4 days on February the 20th to this important peak of cholera cases.
I understand that it's so bad there at the Kosti Teaching Hospital that the MSF people and the other health workers there are dealing with patients just lying on the floor.
Yes, the cholera treatment center that we were collaborating with the Minister of Health in the Kosti Teaching Hospital had about 30-40 beds for cholera. That was the capacity was higher than the average patients we were receiving, but suddenly 600 patients. Imagine it was not possible to attend them properly as we would have wished, both Doctor Without Borders and the Minister of Health staff. So yes, we had to put some people lying on the floor, protected with plastic seating so that they could be attended on the floor. It was a small city suddenly in one morning.
It was an attack on the Rabak power plant. Was this a deliberate attack on infrastructure by the RSF in that area?
The information that we have reportedly was the Rapid Support Forces, and it's not the first time, and it's not the only place where this is happening. For MSF, we want to really the worrying parties to protect the civilian and the critical infrastructures. This country has already a very weak health system because of the war, and these attacks on these electrical infrastructures and others is not really, really helping. So this protecting the civilian structures is quite important for the population.
This seems to be a particularly bad cholera outbreak. Have there been deaths linked to it in White Nile?
Yes, since the 20th up to just today, we have accumulated about 90 deaths. We are talking about an accumulated number of almost 2,700 patients is a lot. Not all of them die directly in the cholera treatment center. Some of them, they were arriving at the entrance when arriving. We know that also possibly there has been a bigger impact in the community of cases that we are not aware because they didn't reach the cholera treatment center. But what we have recorded in the hospital together with the Minister of Health is 90.
What is MSF doing? What are you trying to do to control the spread of cholera in that area?
Well, MSF, since last year in October, we have been collaborating with the Minister of Health in several places, not only in Kosti, but we have been working in other states all along Sudan, in Kasala, in Gedaref, in River Nile, in Al Jazeera, and in Khartoum, and of course in White Nile. In White Nile itself, by October and November, we were working not only in Kosti, but in Rabak, in Tendenti, in Al-Kashafa, collaborating to help to reduce the impact of the cholera outbreak. All this has been done in collaboration with the Minister of Health. We have been helping us in improving the cholera treatment center, putting supplies available, not only medical, but also logistical and water and sanitation materials, also activities in the community health promotion.
That is MSF Emergency Coordinator for Sudan, Mata Kazarola. She was speaking to VOA's Caravan Dam from Port Sudan. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
Arab countries have stepped up their efforts in response to President Donald Trump's plan for Gaza, which envisions U.S. control over Gaza and the permanent displacement of Palestinians to Egypt, Jordan, and other countries. The Trump proposal led to the convening of an emergency Arab summit this week, resulting in an alternative plan for Gaza, one that would reconstruct Gaza while keeping Palestinians on their land. Ambassador Ayman Zaldaldin, former director of the media department at the Egyptian Foreign Ministry, discussed with VOA senior analyst Mohamed Al-Shanawi what objectives the Arab states could achieve from this plan.
The immediate objective would be, of course, to deal with the humanitarian crisis and the current situation in Gaza after the massive war that Israel launched on the Strip. So dealing with it, meaning finding shelter for the people, ensuring that reconstruction would start as soon as possible and done in a way that ensures long-term viability for the population. But the equally important objective of the plan is to bring back the Palestinian question to the proper path, which is finding a final settlement to the Palestinian question by allowing the Palestinians to exercise the right to self-determination and living in freedom in their own country. And this is the main objective of the process, because this cause has been there for too long, and its impact on the region's stability and security has been massive. And unless Israel and the countries of the region and the international community realize that there is no way out of this continuous chain of conflict, is by solving finally once and for all the Palestinian problem and giving the Palestinians the right to self-determination and liberty.
The reconstruction plan would cost over $50 billion. Are the Arab countries ready to invest the necessary financial and political capital to achieve that plan?
This is a very important question. The Arab countries have indicated publicly and officially that they are willing to carry the burden, their share of the burden in reconstructing Gaza. But this is a collective effort. A collective effort, first, to ensure that the conditions for reconstruction are in place, i.e. that Israel should refrain from attacking Gaza once again, that Israel would accept that Gaza is Palestinian territory, that the Palestinians have rights to live there in peace and security. And then the international community should also share the burden of reconstruction in Gaza. But also Israel should pay part of the burden, because what has happened in Gaza is to a great extent caused by what Israel did. But back to your initial question, no, of course, the Arab countries are willing and determined to share their burden in doing that and help the Palestinians in their reconstruction, and also do the political part of it, working to convince and to pressure the international community to help financially, diplomatically, and politically in making sure that the reconstruction of Gaza is carried away, and that Israel should fulfill its obligations, starting from the obligations of the current ceasefire that Israel now is trying to sabotage by reneging on the commitments it made in the agreement that has been reached for the ceasefire, and by which Israel was able to get back many of its citizens that were taken as hostages in Gaza, but now is trying to avoid making good on its commitments. And that is an important part of what should be done for the reconstruction and peaceful path in the region.
That's Ambassador Ayman Zain el-Din, former director of the media department at the Egyptian Foreign Ministry. He spoke to VOA's Mohamed Al-Shanawi.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
It's now time for our weekly segment where we hear from you, our listeners, about issues in the week. Yoel Gatkot says, I'm deeply concerned about the escalating tensions and armed clashes in Nasir County, which threaten to undermine the implementation of the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. Parties to the agreement should embrace dialogue and stop targeting SPLM-IO senior leadership over Nasir armed clashes. James Ruel Majok from Mayom County in Unity State says the ongoing arrest of SPLA-IO military high-ranking officers and politicians is totally creating panic among the people of South Sudan. President Salva Kiir and his vice president, Dr. Riek Machar, should sit down and sort out all these grievances by all means. Peter Goch Anyang Majungudil in West Nile, city of Arua, says, with the ongoing conflict in Nasir and Ulang counties, the Minister of Defense should work with national MPs from those areas to de-escalate the brewing tension that may result in killings and massive displacement of innocent women and children. Tamayo David from Yambio writes, we, the regular citizens in the state, condemn in a strong way the targeting of media personnel and call on the Western Equatorial State Government to take immediate action and bring the attackers to justice. James Rue Majok from Mayom County in Unity State says, I'm appealing to President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Dr. Riek Machar to address the escalation of insecurity within three states that will create disunity and a return to war. We citizens of the county need peace rather than going back to war, which devastated the whole country. Mabal Alat Rengu from Rumbek of Lake State writes, hello VOA, as the whole world is concerned about the conditions of Pope Francis, I too add my prayers to wish him a speedy recovery. May the living God heal him and grant him more years. And Antonio Magwek Machar in Maria Luo Payam, says, "Hello VOA, the cholera outbreak in Malakal needs an urgent response from the National Ministry of Health and all South Sudan's partners to provide medical equipment to the community. Cholera," he says, "is contagious and can kill an infected person in few hours' time. If not treated, precautionary measures must be set up to prevent further spread of the disease. We appreciate hearing from you. Keep those comments coming."
Those are the views from there. They do not represent us here at the Focus, South Sudan Focus, or the Voice of America. And that's all for this Friday, March 7th, 2025, South Sudan in Focus edition. We now leave you with Corner by Murphy Kilizo. You've been listening to Corner by Mafiki Zulu featuring Uhuru. I'm Douglas Mpuga, your host here on this live broadcast from Washington. For more information on our program, log on to voaafrica.com. VOA Africa is now available on WhatsApp. To share your input on our broadcasts or receive our daily news updates, text us on +1202-322-7501. You can also follow our WhatsApp channel by searching for our username VOA Africa. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and our engineer tonight Patrick Dare, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Let me say.
Napoli, Tate, Giali.